Amen. Bible says we ought to pray without ceasing. So I want to ask you to pray with me in this moment as we prepare to give a listen again to what God has to say. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are quite honored that you chosen us to let your praise be in our mouth. The words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts. God, thank you for loving us so much that not only, God, did you say we're going to look like you, but you let us sound like you. You gave us voices of angels. You gave us feet to run after you. Arms and hands to reach out to you. Ears to listen. And someday, Lord, we're going to set our eyes on you. But in this season that we're now living, your presence is warranted. Come be with us again, we pray. Stay with us all day long and even forevermore. Fill this room. Let your anointing take over. Come, Lord Jesus, is what we say. We know that is what you will do. You said if your people who are called by your name would just get a little bit humbler, just humble themselves and keep on praying, that you would hear us even in the great throne room. You'll hear us above the angels singing. You'll hear us above all the praises that are going up. Hear us above all of the activities in the heavens. Prayer takes precedence. So God, we're praying again. Now, Lord, let our ears be attentive to the words in this place. Settle us from the unsettling things that have bothered us all week long. Settle us that we can sit at your feet. Make us comfortable that we don't fear you, but we reverence you because we know who you are. But let us draw nearer, perhaps, Lord, even closer than we've ever been before. We really need to hear from you. Speak to us, we pray, in the language that we can understand. Meet us in the place of our honest needs. James said, if we would draw near unto you, you draw near unto us. So come closer. We need you, Father. In the name of Jesus. God bless me. I pray afresh. Better prepare me than I prepared myself. Let this word go out to their ears better than it sounded in my own. And God, give it the power that will make it life changing. Transform us by the renewing of our hearts. Forgive us of our sins. Have mercy. God, take away our bad attitudes and take away our frustrations. Take away, Lord, our personal assessments. Let no fear rule in this place among this people. We need a word. And that word is you. In Jesus' name. And the children of God said, amen. 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 And amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, praise God. Put your hands together one more time. Come on, bless his name. Amen. 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 Grab your Bibles. Thank you. Grab your Bibles. We won't trouble you long today. Grab your Bible. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we want to direct your attention in the New Testament of the Bible. Your smartphones and tablets, e-readers, and other qualifying agencies that the word can come forth in. If you don't have one of those items, then just lean over and look at your neighbor. They've got one. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. I really want to preach around the whole chapter a little bit, but I want to lift up as a foundation and centralize our thoughts a little bit from verses 16 and 17 of Ephesians chapter 3. In the New Living Translation, it reads, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to, again, ushers, rest. Thank you so much. All of you have done a tremendous work in the Lord, and we're thankful for that. Again, I want to really kind of make my point on all of the third chapter. You know, we talked for a couple of weeks about some hard things, and we looked at some language issues and looked at setting new standards and closing ranks around the faithfulness of the people of God, and realizing that we are in need of, if you will, a spiritual revolution. We need to declare war on the enemies against the church, and even those enemies that we discover are within. Grandma used to say every now and then that you got to clean house sometime. You've got to get down and dirty sometime. You got to get to the real nitty and gritty sometimes. You got to get your hands dirty. And so I thought, we came out a couple of times, and some of y'all weren't happy with the reality of the real gospel, because again, I can't promise you what you're not entitled to, and I can't tell you what he didn't say. And so we have a reality check going on. And I said to you, excuse me, a few weeks ago, that we just going to spend the next 6 months just telling the truth. It does not imply that we've been lying. It was kind of like, let's just get ready to just tell the truth. And so I read up a little bit. I told you I had a follow-up. We took a Father's Day break last week, Deacon Davis, and I did not forget that I've got some Mo Moses story to tell you. But I sat down the other day and said to God, this is crazy. I said, God, your folk are just falling apart for no good reason. I said to God that I didn't want to bring the old Buick back to the house all scratched up. I wanted to bring it home in good shape like you gave it to me. And God said, listen, I've got repair facilities all over the land. Just go ahead and do what you got to do. I can fix it and it'll be all right. But don't get reckless with it and think that you can just leave it any kind of way. But you got to take care of it. And so when I said to God, Lord, show me a way to empower your people. But not just be a cake and ice cream kind of service, but to give them a little leg up so they can say, well, okay, Pastor, you bust us up to the head to the white meat a couple of Sundays in a row. Maybe you can just put your arms around us and kiss us on the face and tell us we're going to be all right. And God said, okay, well, I can help you with that, because what Paul says to the church at Ephesus is really something to give them a sense of encouragement, but also to keep them keenly aware of the fact that they've got to engage in this warfare. In other words, it's just like Grandma say, you know, you can't win if you don't fight. And you don't need you standing around just letting the devil beat you up and don't fight back a little bit. How many of y'all ever can recall, I don't want to start no trouble and I don't want to get into a therapeutic issue with you, but how many of y'all got sent back to a fight because you didn't fight the first time? Amen. Mama said, I tell you what, you go back down there and you better do something. Amen. And so you had to go back, and you went back and you had to introduce yourself back to a fight by telling them, my mama told me to come back down here and bust you upside the head. I believe it was LL Cool J made a song, said, mama said, knock you out. She didn't say what I could use either, so this railroad tie is going to come in handy. And so God said, well, here's what we can do. Let's look at what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, and understand that the whole third chapter can really bless you if you pay attention to the whole third chapter. So, Sandra, I want to try to pastorally illustrate to you that there is really something worth this if you invest in this. I'm not trying to build my own church. I'm not trying to get you to be a part of anything that has to do with anything that I'm a part of, other than the Christ that we all say we love together. Hope y'all caught up with that. But the reality for us is that what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus ought to cause us to want to be a part of the church of Ephesus, or Greater Brookville Church, if you will, in the secondary office of the members of the elite body of Christ, which is an elite body. It talks about the election of the people of God. And so what Paul says, Deacon Davis, is that I'm praying for you. That's the first thing he says. That not the first thing, because it's the 16th verse. But please understand, when these letters came, they did not come in chapter and verse form. Somebody read the letter and they said, this is some good news, because we got another letter from Paul. And so they read the letter, and Paul says, about mid-course the letter, he said, listen, I'm really praying that you would understand there is something glorious and unlimited happening in your life from God. Now, I wasn't at the meeting that night they read the letter, but I bet you they responded better than y'all did. What I'm saying to you is, see, you are not in the body of Christ just so you can say you go to church. You're here because there is something glorious and unlimited at your disposal. You listen, you don't need to spend the rest of your life with a cliche religion. You walk around here talking about asking, it shall be given, seeking, and you shall find. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You can't keep walking around saying that stuff and not living that stuff. Cheating yourself for no good reason. And I'm always amazed that when God says stuff to people like that and they don't get excited, because the truth of the matter is, if you give me the keys to the kingdom, I'm going in. So Paul says, well, let's help them understand. He said, because it is a necessary thing that we better understand God. The old church had a song they were saying that simply said we'd understand better by and by. And I'm telling you now, in 2014, we need better understanding. We don't need to build no bigger church without understanding. We don't need to pave the parking lot without understanding. We don't need more ministries without understanding. We need understanding. I believe there's a songwriter, a little hip-hop group, says, what I need from you is understanding. I need to understand God. I don't need you, Pastor, to pimp me and pump me up and play with me. I need to understand God. I came into this world with little understanding at all. I didn't even know how to tie my own shoes. I didn't even know how to walk. I couldn't hold a fork. Somebody taught me that stuff and has made the quality of my life better. Why would I get to God and not want at least that much?
I want to know how to operate in the body of Christ. I want to know what empowerments are there for me, so when I am being challenged and set upon, I know what I got in my bag. I'm not going to reach into my bag for something I ain't got. I'm not going to pull out a gun and go bang. I want a gun that with bullets in it. And God going to give me some bullets, because I understand the power that comes with my relationship with God. The Bible said to me that I didn't have it because I didn't ask for it. Well, Pastor, I demand to know Jesus and everything that comes with him. Because I didn't come here just to dress up and play church. I came here to be a church. And be a church, I ain't leaving till I get what I came for. So I'm always amazed at God. I'm almost finished, whether you believe it or not. I've always been amazed at how God operates in history. I've always found myself intrigued at the handiwork of God. And when I look at you, I see you. We've been together for a while as pastoring people, you know. We've been hanging out a little bit, but I'm always amazed when I look at you, when I see potential that you don't want to see yourself. I'm always amazed that for some of you, when I have spoken into your life opportunities to serve God, and you've rejected those opportunities because it's inconvenient to you, that amazes me. And then you walk around saying, "Well, they don't ever ask me to do nothing." Or you complain about what we're doing with other people. So the handiwork of God always gets my attention, because he uses people. This message to the church in the third offering of Ephesus, this is really Paul saying to them, God wants to use you. All of you, Paul, you know, we talk about God being no respecter of person. Paul is saying to them, listen, I just pray that you would understand, from me being a prisoner to you being free, it's still all about God. It's amazing. You know the thing about Paul, this guy's locked up writing letters to people who ain't in jail, don't understand the concept of being in jail, and he's got more enthusiasm about God than we do, and we sit up in a free church every Sunday. This guy is locked up writing jailhouse letters, and he's excited about God. One more time. Paul in jail. Loving on God. Talking about gloriousness and unlimited resources and power. And we sit in a free church. Coming and going like we please. Ain't no shackles. Ain't no handcuffs. Ain't no guards. Ain't no beatings. Ain't no starving. Ain't no bread. Ain't no water. And we got a God who's saying, try me. Some of us so scared to get excited with God, you'd think we got a pacemaker and the battery's low. Paul said, listen, he said, I just want you to know that God is doing stuff in people who want to let God do it. Here's the kicker. Jess, I'm always amazed that God sees the same thing in donkeys that he sees in stallions. I'm amazed that God sees the same thing in mules that he sees in thoroughbreds. Y'all don't get that. Listen, I'm trying to tell you something. God is looking at every one of y'all and saying there is a glorious opportunity and unlimited resources if you just try me. It ain't got nothing to do with railroad tracks and family breeding and pedigree. It ain't got nothing to do with education. It's availability and trusting God that there's some stallion in even a donkey. You ain't got to be the smartest. You ain't got to be the fastest. Bible said that. Bible said the race is not given to the fastest. All the winners ain't the strongest. It's just them that kind of hang in there. Look at a neighbor and say, I'm hanging in there. I know you keep wondering why I keep coming back. You keep wondering why I ain't left yet. I'm just kind of hanging in there. Because I believe that something's going to bust loose. And it just might bust loose in me. I might just be the one that gets it this time. I'm amazed that God says, well, he said, well, write the letter. Go and tell him. He said, go and tell him, because there's somebody on the verge of new life. Yeah, see. Why not you? I mean, why can't it be you? You know, I mean, you ain't no different than anybody else. I mean, you just capable as next guy, next gal. I mean, come on, it could be me. I mean, I can win. One God, no respect of person, one Father, who's Father of everything. Why I can't be the one? If you write me a letter like this, obviously you're saying that there's something that I should hear. How many ever had somebody read a letter to you or get some good news? You say, man, I wish somebody write me a letter like that. How many of you ladies ever had another lady brag about her husband, how he treats her and talks to her, and you say, I wish I had me somebody say something like that? And fellas, how many of you ever had, it happened to fellas too, you know, dudes are, man, my gal, she do this for me, do that for me, you be standing there going, she got a sister. The reality is, God is doing stuff, and so here's what you need to understand. When you look at the Ephesian letter, Dean Davis, what Paul is saying is that God manages different but the same. See, all of us are in the same program. All of us are really the same people. All of us really have the same purpose. It's just whether or not we understand the managerial influences that God is trying to invoke upon us if we'll just listen to what the man of God is saying. Paul does not say, I need five of y'all to get out the room because this don't apply to y'all. Paul does not say, this is just for this people or that people. This is just for the tithers. This is just for the worshipers. This is just for the choir. This is just for the trustee. This is just for people. He didn't ask anybody to leave the room. What he says is, all of you are in the program. All of you are the people. All of you have a purpose. If you just listen to the plan. Yes, that's key to it. Because what Paul is saying is, he said, listen, I have been given the privilege of revealing the secret plan of God. Yes, you ask me why I'm always excited. I have the privilege of revealing the secret plan of God. I know some stuff and I can't wait to tell somebody. That's in the text. Right here, Paul said, listen, I am so glad to tell you that I have been privileged by God to reveal this special announcement. When I was in high school, every day about 8:05, there would be a little chime come on. Boop. And the next word that the lady would say is, attention to announcements, please. And so in every classroom in the high school, all of the teachers, if they cared a little bit, would be, shh, announcements coming on. And the lady would read this list of stuff. Every day. Boop. Attention to announcements, please. That's what Paul is saying. Listen, if you didn't come to school that day, you missed the announcement. And if somebody didn't tell you, you missed the announcement. I have the privilege of giving you today's announcements. Paul says, you have been invited by special invitation from His Royal Majesty, our King, to sit at audience with Him and receive unlimited resources, glorious power, and inner strength through the Spirit of God. Who wouldn't take an offer like that? These were poor folk, rich folk, mediocre folk, average folk, less than average folk, unknown folk, known folk, popular folk, unpopular folk, highly regarded folk, disregarded folk, disrespected folk, dysfunctional folk. They was in the room. Look at your name and say, I see how you got in here. Amen. You were one of them people. Disregarded, disrespected. disregarded, disrespected. Oh, you listen, everybody in here brought something in here that they should have left outside. But here's the good news. It is what you ain't that God wants to make you what you can be. Somebody wake up Miss Scott. She just passed out. I'm just trying to tell you, it is not what you bring. It's what you're willing to give up to get. So you can be. Paul said, I got good news. He said, here it is. He said, I know the plan regarding Christ. Notice what he does not do to Deacon Walker. He does not suggest to them that they do the Paul thing. Please stop telling folk that I'm trying to make you like me. There are days when I'm not sure about me. There ain't no day I ain't sure about God. Hello? I said, stop telling folk that I'm trying to clone y'all and make y'all like me. Because I ain't always sure about me. But I am rather certain about God. I am honored to give you the plan if you'll listen to me. So Paul says, he said, well, God is, this is what God is doing. God takes all of us, put us in a program. We're all his people. We all have a purpose. It's a promise. Okay? So what he said, man, it's 12:30, I gotta go. He says, well, if you would allow God to do this from age to age, God has stuck to the plan. The ecclesiastical writer said there is nothing new under the sun. You know, you ain't so stubborn, hard-headed, or difficult to deal with that God needs to write a special plan just for you. Look at anybody. Pick 2-3 of them and tell them you ain't that jacked up. You can be funny sometimes, but you ain't gonna make God write a whole nother plan just because you that hard to get along with. So Paul says, well, he said, now here's the reality. Again, I'm amazed. I'm almost finished. I'm amazed, Deacon Davis, that throughout the ages, from, let's call it this, from discipleship dispensation to discipleship dispensation, God stays the same. Now, the good news in that is we don't have to keep revising stuff. You know, we don't have to say, well, God ain't doing it like that no more. That's just not true. The same God that administered, and managed a people from Egypt into a place called Promised Land, milk and honey, is the same God that manages, administers to, and empowers a people in 2014 into another place called destiny. What they call Promised Land is what the new church calls destiny. Look at your name and say, I'm better suited for that. I'm destiny. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we are predestined. Tell your neighbor, get his mind made up. Our predestined is not being God there who it is. You are walking in the stuff. And I'm waiting on you to get up. Your problem is walking slow. I put a note and say, shout. You shout. You got some waiting on you. Okay, let me try and get this. How many of you have ever drove home faster because you knew something was waiting on you? How do you ever slow down because you knew what was waiting on you? But good. So here it is. He says, in love, stewardship accountability, I can do destiny authorization. Don't miss it. What God is saying, what Paul is saying, he said, once y'all get y'all shit together, God's going to do it. I missed it. Stewardship accountability means we heard what you said, we're going to do what you told us, now give us what you promised. God said, I will not do destiny authorization to disobedient stewards. In other words, you're going to wander around in the wilderness till you get your act together. election, you find three or four people and tell them, I'm tired of walking around out here. I'm tired of Brookville as usual. I'm tired of waiting on stuff and praying about stuff that we could have had a long time ago if we would just get our act together. I'm tired of seeing the same old trees over and over again. I'm tired of the same choir rehearsal. I'm tired of the same miss meeting. I'm tired of the same worship service. I'm tired of the same old, same old. Let's get it together. It's time for some new stuff. Boy, y'all don't like me no more. I can't get no help now. He said, I'm telling you, God's been doing this all the time. You ain't got to look across the street and get mad about God blessing another church. Or blessing another people. God ain't, listen, God ain't just building churches and growing ministries because he's trying to make you feel bad. What God is saying to you is you could have had the same thing. You can't get what they doing. Excuse me, you can't get what they got by not doing what they're doing. The same stewardship accountability is what got them into destiny authorization. So God said, he said, well, I'm trying to get them to understand. He said, so here's the summary. God is. Paul says, Deacon Davis, he says, well, here it is. He said, now this plan is an equal opportunity plan. It's right there in verse 6. He said, this is for Jews and Gentiles. All of you share equally. Yeah. Here it is. I ain't got time to finish. I'm just going to stop. Here it is. All y'all sitting up in here know good and well you want something. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody in here, tongue hanging out. You're salivating. Your pulse is racing because you want something. Yes, I don't know nobody. Can you say no nobody? Yeah. I am not aware of any person that does not have a desire of some kind, be it sacred, selfish, or whatever. Everybody, Lottie and Dottie, want something. Here's the kick. The somethings that you want may be under the control of somebody who don't want to let it go. I'm about to make y'all socks come off. But the somethings that God says he'll give are under the control of somebody who's already released it. Y'all missed it. Some of the stuff you want, they don't want to give it to you. You don't live in the right zip code. You ain't got the right credit score. You don't make enough money. They ain't gonna never let you have it. But you have a God who is sitting in the throne room of riches, and he is saying you have not because you ask not. I've already released into your life blessings. That's why David said, my cup runneth over. You notice in the text, it never said where David got it from. But we know who gave it to him. And you notice he did not say that he spent anything trying to get it. He was faithful. Are you sitting here? God said it's already there. But you're going to have to be accountable. God's not going to give you riches and you stealing his tithe. God not going to bless you if you're not going to bless him. You don't even want to lift up and magnify the name of the Lord. But you want God to pour out blessings. You don't want to sing his song. But you want him to bless you. You don't even want to sit around with him and fellowship. But you want him to bless you. You don't want him in your house. You don't come to his house. But you want a new house. Paul said, here it is. Paul said, there's an equal opportunity. I know that's two opportunities together, but Mr. Scott, I'm just trying to run this together. He said, here it is. He said, because you don't need to look at no other people and envy them. Here it is. Deacon Davis, you know this. The Jews and the Gentiles were in competition for the affection, adoration, and authorizations from God. The Jews felt privileged because they were Jews. The Gentiles felt left out because they were Gentiles. Paul said, y'all stop that foolishness. Okay, let me make it modern. White folk done had stuff that white folk done had for a long time. As black folk, we sat around and envied what white folk had because white folk had it and we didn't have it. That's over, y'all. We can stop that stuff right now. We can stop saying that Thomas Rowe got it because they white folk. No, and Heritage got it because they white. No. Y'all stop that stuff. The only reason the black church struggle is because the black church likes struggling. Oh, y'all don't like me now. I ain't lying to nobody. He said, listen, it's an equal opportunity God. The same God that blessed them wants to bless us. Paul said, watch this. Paul said, why? Because we're both in the same body and enjoy together the blessings through Christ. They ain't got no God that we ain't got. They ain't singing no better song than we sing. It's on us. Why? Paul said, because you are putting yourself in a place called spiritual deficit. What are you saying? He said, because you're not attending to the things of God. It's right there in the text. He said that your empowerments come through spiritual strength. Okay, let me see if I can make this plain. Some of y'all are young and vibrant, vital, vigorous. You work out, you do that kind of thing. And you may have more physical strength than me. You may have more physical strength than Deacon McKenzie. You know, you young bucks. You know, you got guys like Brother Sean there and Brother Josh. And, you know, Deacon Richburg is a little younger. Deacon Walker a little younger. Old Mike there a little younger. You know, you got that. It's on your side right now. You under 40. And you know, you can run and all that kind of stuff. But here's the equalizer. Spiritual strength is spiritual strength. And it's equal among all men. Everybody in this room ought to want to be more spiritually strong than you are physically strong. Because physical strengths are often determined by activities called working out or doing a little something. In God, there are Calebs and Joshuas and Moses and Hezekiah. There are old men doing great things and young men doing great things. Why? Because the power of God is no respecter of person. He said, you know, we got an opportunity to God, and this is what God wants to do. If you'll be accountable. So Paul says, here's what we need to do. He said, so God, verse 7, and we'll have to take shortcut. He said, because God is giving us a special favor. How many of you ever asked somebody, do me a favor? Okay, only 9 of y'all. This is not true. So he says, God, special favor and power go together. He says, so you have now been told some good news. So the revelation is worth rejoicing in that now we know. How many of you have ever had a life-changing moment because now you know? It's when you know. It's when you, when the Bible says, in everything you're going to get some no power. Get some no. Oh, ding, epiphany. Oh, so that's what that means. How many of you heard something for a long time, heard it wrong, finally heard it right and went, oh, but that changes everything. Paul says, here's a revelation that's worth your rejoicing if you listen to God. He says that the principles do not change. You missed it. This is an old letter written way back when. The principles do not change. It's the people that have to change because the principles do not. In other words, what Paul is saying to Ephesus is applicable to what Leroy is saying to GBC. The same Spirit of God exists and is desirable for a people
who want to meet their destiny. In other words, Deacon Anderson, if we're going to get there, this is how we're going to get there. We don't have, listen, we don't have to come up with nothing incredibly enticing. We don't need a new theme nor slogan. We don't need to change our web page. What we need to do is become accountable to the Word of God by application into our raggedy lives.
How dare you say I got a raggedy life? You brought nothing in. That's about raggedy as it can get.
So he says, here it is, here it is, I gotta go. He says, you don't change your principles, God, so you're consistent, and so here it is. He says, I'm so thankful that God let me tell you this, verse 9, to explain this. So, what are you saying? I'm saying you need to be in the room where we explain any of that. So you don't go off half-cocked. And you don't start going by your own vain imagination. Because let me help you understand something. And I know, Sister McKenzie, where there you are. And this ain't going to get nobody to shout. There ain't nobody going to jump up down. Maybe two or three of y'all might, you know, going to signify. Miss Mitchell, Candace, I'm expecting y'all to come in on this one. But let me just help you understand something. I'm the pastor. You not. Amen. Well, I knew that was going to happen. It's my gift. To explain this, it's your gracious acceptance that'll help you live by it. Boy, that was good preaching right there. You sit around here talking about what ought to be and what could have been, and this ain't right and that ain't right. It ain't your responsibility to explain this.
Principles, God has always taken chosen men and women to lead. We don't run church by committee. We don't run by no votes. Boy, y'all sure done fell out of love. Paul said, listen, I'm bringing y'all some good. Isn't it good enough that I'm bringing the good news? Isn't it good enough that I'm preaching? Isn't it good enough that I'm teaching? Isn't it good enough that I'm making this thing plain? Why we got to be all jumbled up about who doing what and who in? Ain't got none of that time for that. Yes, sir. We way behind already. Yes, sir. So he said, here's the revelation. He said, God, you're using donkeys and stallions alike. You're giving these people the good news. There's some stewardship requirements here. There's some dispensation stuff we need to do. He said, but we got one man in charge. 'Tis I. He said, I'm just happy. He said, I'm thankful to God. He said, it's a privilege to spread the good news. He said, but I want everybody to understand that this thing had been kept for a while until God found worthy vessels to release it. So he said, okay. So here it is. We are distinguished by God for destiny life. Or we're going to be disavowed by God because of disobedience to destiny. Did y'all get that?
Yes,
we're distinguished by God for destiny life. You have been set by God to be wonderful. But God going to disown you if you keep on living in denial of your destiny. You ain't supposed to be the head. I mean the tail. You supposed to be the head. You mad because you ain't the head, but you don't want to do head stuff. You mad because you're the borrower and not the lender, but you don't want to do tithe stuff to be the lender. You ain't going to get nowhere doing it your way. It ain't never worked like that. Ask the children of Israel. The reason they wandered around for 40 years because they wouldn't listen to the leader. We know a better way. We could have stayed where we were. We could have went back that way. We should have did this. Should have. Sit down and shut up. Miss Davis is here. I couldn't say what I wanted. Paul said, I'm honored to tell y'all this. It's a revelation worth rejoicing. He said, because what God is doing is trying to distinguish you as a people. You of all people have been chosen by God to move the kingdom. Ain't got to be jealous of nobody else. Drinking all that haterade. You have right in front of you pathway. We'll stop. I'm gonna stop. Ain't gonna finish. We'll stop. Because it's right here. He said, listen, let me give you this and we'll be done. I felt it. Boy, I tell you, I felt it. Let me tell you this one. This is a good one here, Dick Walker. It's not enough just to win you to Christ and have you come to church on Sunday to just keep us coming in and going out. Coming. And see, some of y'all, that's what you want. You just want to come in and go out at your own convenience. But God is a God of authority and accountability and accessibility. It ain't enough just to get you in church. That is not the ultimate goal of a ministry that is set to kingdom life. And that's why I'm not happy. That's why I'm not satisfied. And yes, to those of you who have said to others, he ain't never satisfied. They got that right, John Brown. I'm not going to be satisfied until the word standard is met among all the people. Because the Bible said, bring them up together. Y'all don't want to talk to me now. It ain't enough just to get you in church. It's not enough. Not enough. And then here it is. We can't keep doing this until the day of the Lord and not have something to present to God in completion. We have a responsibility. To train up our children, to make better husbands for our daughters, better wives for our sons, to create a spiritual house where we can call anybody to pray. The day got to come around here when you are itching to pray, itching to read a scripture, itching to lead a classroom. That's when this house gonna get in order. Paul said, I got good news. But it's going to make us change. It's going to make us different. You have a grand and glorious allocation waiting for you. It is not going to come by UPS, FedEx, or courier service. You got to go get this. Paul said to the church, he said, listen, what Christ did on the cross deserves more than just a celebration one Sunday every year. Paul is saying to the church, you are the change agents for your families and your communities and even for your church. You have an authorization that has been signed by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that simply says, you sinners now saved by his sacrifice should sacrifice because he saved you. Don't miss that. You need to do something. And I ain't talking about just sitting here on no cushioned pew, singing in no choir, standing on the door and driving a van or feeding folk in the kitchen. Man, anybody can do that. Where are the people of God who strive for excellence, showing themselves as vessels worthy of his death? We can't keep killing Jesus. Paul said, you got this thing, man. It's been given to you. I can hear him saying, what are you waiting for? Here it is. Last thing. I say, Paul, as I remind you, I'm going to leave you alone, is in prison. And writing to people who are free. And telling them all this wonderful stuff. He in prison. He ain't going to never taste that cake at homecoming. He ain't going to get no fried chicken. He not going to get to see them build a church and dedicate the new wing. He's not going to be there when they buy two more chariots for the church. But he's enthusiastic. And don't you hate on me for loving what I do. I love what I do. Paul said, I'm just happy to tell y'all that y'all got it going on. Now get going. He says, he saved me. He saved you. Now let's do something. People, I'm going on. I'll leave you alone. You are too gifted. Too gloriously empowered to sit around whining and putting off and procrastinating and postponing and just wasting your life when you have an awesome God. It ain't Leroy's God. It ain't Audrey's God. It's God who has empowered you. Search within yourself. Go home and ask God, Lord, what is wrong with me? How could I have missed that all these years? I have wasted too much life and not known Ephesians 3 was for me. He says, you have been given. Every one of y'all. You know, some of y'all looking at me that far away, look in your eyes. That's all right. I feel it. I've been there. That's all. I ain't going back. I'll tell you something right now. I plan on dying right here. Now, I don't know what God said, but I ain't quitting. I ain't gonna let this thing wear me out. But I'm tell you something right now. We got too much potential. Right here in this room. We've been sitting around talking about waiting on the next disciples to come and they gonna break. No, it's right here in this room. $10,000 offerings every Sunday are right here in this room. Building a new church is right here in this room. Building a youth ministry and a senior adult ministry is right here in this room. Y'all will have to get up off of y'all laziness. Stop making excuses. Stop waiting on somebody else to point the finger at and do what you do. Because God already gave it to you. We ain't waiting on no 1,500 soldiers to walk in this door. We gonna do what we gonna do or it ain't gonna get done. And God ain't gonna trust us with more when we haven't done anything with what we already got. Okay, that's nine of y'all. That's nine. That's about how we roll. We gotta roll deeper than that. So Paul says, listen, you have it. He said, so God's purposes are within God's promises, which is God's power because of God's program, because of God's people, and God's going to give the payoff.
Those are the points I was going to get around to. Never got to them. Never do seem for some reason. I don't know. But I know one thing. I believe God for you. It's time for you to start believing God for yourself. I'm going to say that again. I believe God for you and you and you and you and y'all. It's just up to you now to start believing God for yourself. It's in the scriptures. Three shout points. Now, I won't make this, and we're done. It's 1 o'clock. Time to go. Let me tell you what I had. Let me slide down here because I'll never get to the end of it. Three things have to happen if you're going to really believe God. First of all, this just bonus. This was the bonus preaching, Sandra. You got a desire to go from average to astonishing. That's got to be your desire. And you need to say that to God. Say, God, I'm tired of being average. I now want to be a game changer. The second thing is, this is a good one. This is the middle. This is the one that I go hinge on. You got to move from being feeble to being a fighter. Because too many of y'all are feeble around here. I was going to call names right here. Sis Davis, but I ain't going to do it now. Sis Laura, not other Mama Davis. Laura, you understand. Because you can call names. Because some of y'all are just so feeble. And so sensitive. And so finicky. You need to be a fighter. You need to get some rawr in you. Eat some Wheaties or something, for God's sake. And then the last one, Sandra. This is going to be a good one. This is where I was going to get my little happy moment in. You got to go from being a weekender to being a lifer. Because some of y'all, all y'all do is come to church on Sunday. You don't do nothing else for God them other 6 days. Don't look at me like that, because I'll call your name for real on this part. You gotta go from being a weekender. God, I'll be glad. No, you are just a weekend warrior. We need some lifers. We need some folk who gonna do this thing 7 days a week. 24 hours. God ain't gonna take your leisure from you. God ain't gonna stop you from going to Las Vegas, Tupelo, Albuquerque, Miami, the Bahamas. God, people go everywhere. Some of you don't have, I do that. Listen, I'm having the time of my life. Because I'm a lifer. Amen. I get lifer benefits. Amen. Some of y'all don't even say Brookville on Sunday. I go from being a weekender to be a lifer. I got scripture. I saved them, but I'm going to use them next time. Because I can show them to you in the Bible. I can show them to you. From average to astonishing, I can talk about David. I can talk about Joseph. I can talk about Samuel. I got them in here. And then from feeble to fighter, I got a whole bunch of them. I can show you where at one time in Matthew's life, he was a devout Jew, but he wasn't the kind of Jew that's going to ever step out. I can show you in the scriptures where Stephen's life was transformed simply because he fell in love with God. I can show it to you. Don't think I don't know what I'm doing. And then that weekend of the lifer, woo, the list is long and distinguished. Because when you make God, your whole life changes. And so we tell you there's a revelation. That's what goes on there. There's a revelation where they're rejoicing. God got good news for you. Well, that's time for us to go. I hope I helped you a little bit. I sure helped me. I feel good myself. Yeah. Amen. So we're going to stand on our feet together, if you don't mind, please. Stand on your feet with us. All over the house. We're getting ready to go. It's right at 1 o'clock. I know y'all have places to go. Reservations and fine eating establishments. But I want to encourage you to know something today, that this message is for you. This is not just for the deacons, not for the trustees only. This is not just for those who are the pastor's favorites. This is for everybody. This is for the visitor as well as the disciple of this house. You are a steward that must be accountable. I heard Jesus say that when the master came back and called his servant to accountability, the servant responded to him by saying, well, I know you hard and you tough. So I didn't want to mess up nothing. And the Lord said, that ain't going to cut it. And some of us try to excuse ourselves from spiritual empowerments by saying, you know, I'm not comfortable and I'm not really sure. That ain't going to cut it. Because I'd rather you come up here and try and fail than fail to try. Make yourself available to God. I said it a few weeks ago in Christian Academy, Bible Academy, and I meant that. I told folk, it's in the scripture. The Bible shows us time after time that you don't have to be the most gifted, but you just ought to be available. Because God will use you. I know He will. And so this message, this revelation is for you. I want you to know. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 21, verses 1 through 21. It's not a long read, but listen to what Paul is saying. And please recognize, if you find something in there that I tried to preach and it wasn't in there, you just say, okay, Pastor, I ain't see that part. You say it. You had to get the CD to remember because y'all memory is short. Y'all remember everything I said. But it's in there. It is important for you to understand this revelation. Mediocrity is not ministry. Manifestation is ministry. Yeah. Making it happen is ministry. Just doing the same thing over and over, that's mediocrity. That ain't doing nothing for nobody. Amen. What shall we say unto these things? If God be for us, that's enough. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life, because this is the critical thing, and because, again, I said it earlier, just winning you to Christ is not enough. It's a good thing, but you've got to serve Him. You've got to do something with this anointing. You know, we started back in the mid-90s, got it really hooked up and excited about anointings. We started talking anointing. It's been there all the time. I just told you, the principles don't change. It amazes me how all of a sudden we get spiritually smart for a season and that fades away. Let me prove it. Several years ago, everybody was talking about Jabez. Now we don't talk about Jabez no more. Jabez been there all the time. Somebody made a song about the prayer of Jabez and everybody fell in love with it. That verse, that scripture, that principle has been there all the time. Y'all might have cried. We started again a few years ago and we started talking about gifts. Gifts have been there all the time. We started talking about fivefold ministry, been there all the time. It's just that somebody finally went home and meditated and said, you know what, God? I'm going to introduce that in my church. I'm going back to my man or woman of God and I'm going to say, can we do this? Better yet, why aren't we doing this? That's the way. Listen, let me give you something. This is an insight. We're going to go. Here's an insight. If you really want to get something done in GBC, the next time you get one of them bright ideas, don't come to me ask me why can't we or why won't we. Come to me and say, why aren't we doing this? You got me. That's scripture. I don't want to hear about no whims and what you saw on TV and all that kind of stuff. Come to me with your Bible open and say, Pastor, why aren't we doing this? And we'll read it together and say, you tell me. Because you do know. I'm all for manifestation in ministry. But you do know, if you tied it, you ride it. That's military saying. Deacon Anderson will help you with it. In other words, don't bring it to me and leave it. You tied it, you ride it. You make it happen.
Didn't bring your change of clothes yet, sit on the porch. That was good.
Keep coming. Amen. Y'all done found something to laugh about. Come on. It's 10 minutes after one. That ain't bad. We'll be all right. I suppose I could preach shorter sermons. But I won't. Amen. I suppose I could. I reckon. Thank you, Brother Thomas. Amen. I suppose we could make compromises, but why should we? Shouldn't be no compromise. I told him in Bible study Thursday, you know, I like movies and we were talking about Unforgiven, you know, that's Clint Eastwood movie. I like Clint Eastwood. And after he killed Little Bill, or getting ready to kill Little Bill, he already grievously wounded him. He was going to bleed out anyway. Little Bill looks up at him and says, "I don't deserve to die like this." Clint Eastwood's character is Bill Mundy. He says, "Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it." And I want you to move your life from the place where you think that everything coming to you is coming because you deserve it. Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. Because there's some things that come that we probably don't deserve. And there's some things that don't come that we do deserve. Because biblically speaking, read Romans 3, you know the verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. So we all deserve death. But thank God, based on what I can see right now, y'all alive. Amen. So deserve, don't shape your life around what you think you deserve. Shape your life around the desires of God. And what's loving about God is that he'll let you give desires to him. I'm so thankful that I have lived all these days of my life and that deserve what my modus operandi. I can take it. I've had my disappointments. I've had my heartaches. I've had my pains. And I believe I got some coming. That's okay. I trust God. I have cried. I have sit up at night. I've been scared to go to sleep. I've been unsure about waking up. But I trust him. And I'm trusting him now like I have never trusted him in my life. And it feels good. I trust him. I trust him for you. For every one of you. I have lifted your names. I have taken the time to call every one of your names. If your name is on our little piece of paper, I have taken the time in the last 4 weeks to call every name. And I take my time. When I call your name, I think about you. Some of you I know very well. Some of you I don't know as well. But I have taken the time in 4 weeks to call every name. The name of your children. If the names are on that paper, I've called the names of your children. Because I want you to trust him. Some of you are going off to colleges and universities. Some of you ain't going nowhere. Some of you are doing great things. Some of y'all ain't doing nothing. But I keep calling your name. If nobody else is calling your name in the ear of God, I am. And I'm going to keep doing it. Because your name needs to be in heaven. I know the Lamb's Book of Life does exist. I believe that. But the Bible said that the man of God, the shepherd, must care for his sheep. I think it's not robbery to call your name. Some of you are on the verge of greatness. But it's going to only become when you allow God to use you. Greatness is for every one of you. There are no lesser persons, no less deservings. You're all awesome to God. Every one of you is awesome to God. I don't care what the world knows about you. So what if you fail? Who hasn't failed? Who hasn't been frustrated? Who hasn't been hurt and disappointed? Who hasn't cried? Who hasn't felt lost, unappreciated? We've all been there. Thank God we didn't take up permanent residence there. The old song said, I moved from my old friends. I moved from that old way of life. Thank God I moved out. Bible says we press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Can I encourage every one of you today to keep pressing? It ain't easy. There's not a verse in scripture that says it's going to be easy. Suffering comes in every life. Setbacks come in every life. We weather our storms. That's why we call it weathering. We get through it. No, you don't have to like it. God doesn't have a problem with you telling him you don't like it. Be a fool to say you did like it if you didn't like it. You'd be lying. I don't like this. That's what Jesus said at the cross. You remember? He said, Father, if it's possible, can we skip this? God didn't throw down a bolt of lightning and knock him off the cross. So you can be honest with God too. You say, Lord, I don't like this. I don't like the way this is going. I don't like how I'm feeling. I don't like what they did to me. But God, if you will help me weather this storm. God, teach me how to get to my nevertheless. Until I get to my next best thing. Some of you got to learn how to live through your nevertheless. I hear the Holy Spirit saying it. That's why I'm telling you. Because some of y'all want to sit on the side and cry. And wait on somebody to come along and feel sorry for you. We are too busy living our own neverthelesses. To keep coming and sit there with you. You got to get up, baby. Come on, honey. Get yourself together. Come on. We got to go. You can't live the rest of your life in the cemetery. You can't sit there drowning in your own tears. Gird up your loins. Be encouraged. And run on. I'm holding your hand today because I don't want to leave you behind. And you're holding mine because I don't want to be left. I'm squeezing your hand with what little strength I got. Because the two of us, as touching and agreeing, are stronger together. And some of you are just like me, standing all by yourself, but you're not alone. All around you are angels who serve. Our joy is in the Lord. And we never have an opportunity again to share with you this news, be encouraged to know there's a glorious, unlimited power at your disposal. And it is not about world life. It is about kingdom life. God is awesome. God is awesome. And I ain't selling you nothing. I'm just telling you a truth that I come to know. greater is He. And every one of you possess the essence of God right now. Until your next great development or level comes, right now is where you are, and right now is where God's going to use you. Don't you quit on you. Others may quit on you. Others may doubt you, but don't you quit on you. Write your book. Tell your story. Serve your God. Don't you quit on you. For if God be for us, that's going to be enough. Now, if you won't come alongside and take a part of that, thank you, you're welcome. But if God be for us, I appreciate you if you're going to come alongside now. You want to help me? You want to be a part of the team? But I'm counting on Him more than I'm counting on you. I appreciate you as an addendum. I appreciate you as an accessory. I appreciate you as complementary to the cause. But I'm not going to take my eyes off God ever again. And I ain't falling for no more tricks. The devil is a liar. No more lies. We're going to press truth. Because truth matters. Holy Ghost says some of y'all are tired now, so we got to let y'all go. Some of y'all wore the wrong shoes to church on Sunday. Can't stand up much longer now. Some of y'all left the pot on. You don't know if you put it on low, medium, or high. So you got to go. Be encouraged, children of God. Your pastor loves you, and I'm praying for you. We're going to be like those kids riding in the back of that old Buick. Are we there yet? No, we're on our way, though. We're closer now than we've probably ever been. And we got to mind ourselves very well. We got to manage well now. We've been trusted with greater things. God, our Father, thank you for the hand that we hold. Thank you for the heart that beats. Thank you for the eyes that have not taken a glance to the left nor to the right, but we've stayed focused on promise. Take us from average to astonishing, from feeble to fighters, from being weekenders to being lifers. Take us from being spectators, make us participants. Where are the warriors? Where are the battle tested? Who has sharpened their sword? Who has girded up their loins? Who among this people have put on the breastplate, put on their helmets, shod their feet, and are now battle ready? Who among these people will be the next to serve and sacrifice for our King? God, this is your people. This is your people. Use us, we pray. Bless our babies. Bless our sons and our daughters. Bless our spouses. Bless our legacy in our grandparents and foreparents. Now let us live as Hebrew 11 saints did live, by faith. Let us live trusting you for the seen and the unseen, the known and the unknown, the possessed and the yet promised. Let us live trusting you for what has not yet, but is soon to be. Let us trust you for healing and deliverance from our sickness. Let us trust you for the job that we applied for, the loan that we applied for, the church that we envision. And let us trust you for our pastor and our deacons and our ministers, our choir and our ushers. Let us trust you above all things and in everything. Let our steps indeed, Lord, be alongside yours. Let us be the change agents of now. Please, God, forgive us for our former disagreeable state, for being defiant and disobedient, for being deliberately derelict. Now, God, give us this day and change us forever. Bless this church. Bless this people. In the name of Jesus. And for our family members in hospitals and nursing homes and those who lie upon their beds of affliction, we left some of them, Lord, in the care of others today, that we would come and hear what you are saying. Let us take back the good and encouraging news that the power is there. It is an unlimited power. Let us go out from this place rejoicing. We have been with the Lord, and it is well. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sins and have mercy. Don't let the devil get us. Show us the way of escape. And let us run and not get weary. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Be nice and hug at least three or four people. Say something nice to them. Tell them, be encouraged.